Yes, a very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your Daily Program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev, Murray from the Curry, live on First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country as BBM Bumbadrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, you can text the brother, 045-714-0550, and our Facebook page as well, BBM 987 FM. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from, and to all our traditional owners across the daily country of ours, welcome back to National Talk Black. Yarn up strong, your mob. All ears here on your daily program. All right, now, First Nations fire knowledge is reducing the severity of the Africa's wildfires and cutting emissions. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Andrew Edwards, Research Fellow Bushfire CDU on the line. Andrew, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Where are you based, Andrew?
I'm in Darwin. I'm at Charles Darwin University in Darwin.
Okay, fantastic. So, talking about a deadly conversation here, First Nations fire knowledge, reducing the severity of Africa's wildfires and cutting emissions. So, enlighten us, please.
Oh, hi. Yeah, look, I'm over here on Larrakia country in Darwin, and the mob here have been heavily involved in working with the university in collecting a lot of information from traditional owners all over the top end of the Northern Territory, and we've also done a lot of work with people in the Kimberley and on the Cape to work out how to calculate emissions and to, do improve fire management. Fire management was pretty bad for quite a while. It's been improved in the last 10 or more years by all the Indigenous ranger groups that are now really, really set up really well right across the north. And so those people in Africa have been looking at what, Aboriginal people have been doing here in the north of Australia, and they wanted to see how they could maybe convince their governments to do the same kind of thing over there. So we've had a lot of people from Arnhem Land and Cape York and the Kimberley go over there, Indigenous rangers who have gone over there and shown them what they do and talked about how they've done what they've done, improved fire management.
Well, when you're talking about 60,000 years, know how to look after country, that's very important, So in the engagement, how long has this engagement been going on, Andrew?
Probably about 4 or 5 years now.
Okay.
So there's different groups of people, rangers from Broome and Arnhem Land have been over there working with some of those, that movie, The Gods Must Be Crazy. You see those people, the sand people?
Yes.
Yeah, they've been working with them in this area in a country called Botswana, northwest Botswana. It's part of it's a big desert country, but they have a lot of problems with big fires, and so they've been working with them, showing each other's techniques. So it's been a two-way thing.
Fantastic.
So there's lots of people over there with traditional knowledge that's very, very old there as well, and just getting
together. So setting up a fantastic a relationship here, which could be ongoing for decades.
Yeah, it is. I think it will be. Yeah, there's been some really good friendships that are built up out of this, and just some good. It's what it's like when you think you don't realise how good you're doing something until you go and talk to somebody else who's doing the same thing, and they go, "Yeah, you're doing a good job." So
exactly.
We've had really good feedback about what the Indigenous rangers are doing in North Australia from these African people too.
Fantastic. So Charles Darwin University in the mix of it all in regarding the funding and the communication.
Yep, that's right. Yeah, we're in it a bit. We're sort of we're just sort of in the sidelines doing the sciencey stuff, working out how to calculate greenhouse gas emissions. We've also got, we run this website called NAFI, the North Australia Fire Information website, and it's got all the mapping of fires, like we update it every week. So you can see how much country and where and when is burning all the time all across a big part of the country, the top half of the country. So everybody uses that. And that's the kind of work we've done. And,
now, fire is a tool for looking after country, isn't it?
That's right.
And you just got to manage it, and there's ways of doing it.
Yeah, that's right. And so traditional knowledge of where people used to burn and what time of year they used to burn, and it was very strategic. People weren't just wandering around throwing matches everywhere. They were very cleverly burning, through the landscape and to stop wildfires at different times of the year.
Beautiful.
Burning some bits of the country a bit hot to keep it under control and that sort of thing. So there's a lot of knowledge out there. It's not simple. It's very, very, very complicated. Very
and,
complicated.
And we've got to be open-minded for the knowledge. We are students for life, are we not, Andrew?
That's right. You don't learn all of that stuff in 1 minute, do you?
Exactly. Look, it's a fantastic conversation. Thank you very much for sharing. Big shout-out to the First Nation mob over that way. And fantastic that CDU is on board as well. And to our brothers and sisters across the way in Africa, it's fantastic getting together and having that yarn and looking after planet Earth, brother.
Oh, good on you. Thank you. Well said.
Thank you. You take care, right? All the best.
You take care too.
Bye-bye. There is a beautiful yarn there. That's Andrew Edwards, and he's a research fellow, Bushfire, CDU, Charles Darwin University. And the First Nations fire knowledge is reducing the severity of the Africa's wildfires and cutting emissions. So working together with our mob, our brothers and sisters over that way, fantastic. The fact they reached out to us, and when you're talking about 60,000 years, we'd probably have a bit of knack about how to look after country. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Slowing me down. I've always wanted to sing. It was my only dream. I've always wanted to move from town to town. So here I am traveling down this road, heading for my next town. Oh yeah, mama, they made me a traveling man. I've made my boyhood dream come true. Mama, I thought it was easy moving from place to place in just one night. I'm sorry I can't stay to say goodbye. The road's out there and that's where I wanna be. I ain't quitting out right now. It's something I wanna. I've always wanted to sing. It was my only dream. I've always wanted to move from town to town. So here I am traveling down this road, heading for my next town. Oh yeah, mama, they made me a traveling man. Oh yeah, mama, they made me a traveling man.
Swamp. I won't mind, I'm again
Yeah, that's Brown Bird, Nublik Band here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416 is the number you need to call. Yarn Up with yours truly, Trevor Tim Trendy, Trev Murray from Macquarie, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country. That's BBM, Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Israeli Service. So have your say in Yarn Up Strong, your mob too deadly. The First Nations narrative celebrated at Story Week 2021. Story Week, Australia's annual celebration of performed writing, celebrates First Nations voices and artists when it returns Monday 22nd, Sunday 28th November. We're going to catch up a yarn there with Shay Baines, and writer, and talk about this beautiful space on the line. Shay, good morning. How are you?
Morning. Doing good this morning.
Fantastic. Before we start, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from.
Hi, my mob are from across Turtle Island. I'm Siksika from the Northern Prairie, and I'm also Manu from the East Coast, and Anishinaabe from sort of Central Eastern Turtle Island.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you so very much. So we're talking about First Nations narrative celebrating at Story Week 2021. So let's talk about this space and how important story. We all got a story to tell, haven't we?
Yeah, big time.
So tell us about this celebration and how it's celebrated as such.
The event I'm participating in, it's called Weaving with Language. So we're all just, you know, sharing our words. In our traditional languages, you know, that good revitalization work that's so important to keep our languages and our cultures alive.
Look, it's a fantastic tool, a vehicle as such, and like I said, keeping it alive. I mean, it's talking about 60,000 years, and that's how we operate. That's how we communicated throughout thousands of years, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Stories have always been, you know, so much a part of First Nations cultures everywhere. It's how we, you know, pass our knowledge and our histories through the generations.
Exactly. So information and stories that you tell, that's coming from your ancestors, your elders?
Yeah. What elders have shared with me throughout the years, as well as just, you know, stories that I've been able to find on my own through research I've done while reconnecting.
Yes. I feel as though I'm hearing passion in your voice, my bro. You know, so we're talking about being active with that information and also passing on to young ones as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely, you know, especially my generation, you know, we're the first generation that's really been able to raise our kids fully in culture without fear of, you know, losing our kids or being punished for speaking language and all that. It's a big passion of mine. Hopefully, you know, I can pass on all that good knowledge to my little ones when they come along.
Well, exactly. And when we talk about the fear factor, I mean, that's First Nation people across the globe. Under the power of white man, putting us in that corner, so to speak, and controlling our culture, well, dampening our culture and squashing our culture, so to speak. Well, here's an opportunity to speak up and keep the culture alive and strong as black people are across the world.
Yeah, definitely. There's so much to take back and to heal from, and I've always believed so much in the power of story to do that work.
Yes, exactly. And opportunity here, when you talk about First Nation narratives celebrated at Story Week, it's a great platform as such to empower our First Nation people across the globe to speak up, tell the story, and like I said, to keep it alive. And this is the 21st century, and we're not going nowhere, are we?
No, definitely not. And you know, we're stepping up and we're speaking our truth, and it's a beautiful thing to witness. And I'm so happy to be able to, you know, do my part.
And how long have you been part of the First Nation narratives?
This is my first year on this particular event, so super excited to be, you know, included. But I've been doing this kind of work, you know, most of my writing that I do is all about that, you know, exposing the truth about colonialism and helping my people heal.
Yeah, beautiful. And a powerful tool that is. Shay Baines, thank you very much for sharing. All the best to you. And big shout out to all your mob.
Thank you. Bye, Mati.
You take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Adele Young there. Shane Baines, the spokesperson there for First Nation Narrative, celebrated Story Week 2021. And like I said, we all got a story to tell. The Story Week First Nations program has been developed in partnership with Awesome Black, a First Nations creative social enterprise and podcast production company. So it is a team effort, a beautiful platform as such, and telling our stories. All got, like I said, a story to tell. But we've been talking about First Nation stories, our culture, our yarns from our elders and our ancestors, and strong in spirit. So fantastic. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Tell us your story. Too deadly. 1-800-422-416. Yarnum with the ball. You're on here, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from McCurry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black.
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7. I remember the day.
It takes time to get to where you want to go. Surely everybody knows it takes time. And it takes time to gather all the things you need to start a little family. It takes time. When a man gives his heart, he hangs it on the line. And when you find someone, love takes time. And it takes time, time to really trust someone. After all the things they've done, trust takes time. It takes time to forgive a friend untrue. Their words can really cut right through. That takes time. 'Cause when a man gives his heart, he hangs it on the line. And when you've been hurt, trust takes time. And it takes time to understand the things they do. Are their intentions really true? Doubt takes time. And it takes time to change the world we're living in. It's been that way since life began. That takes time. Shows his heart, he hangs it on the line. And when you've been hurt, loss takes time. And it takes time to heal away their memory. I know you hear them constantly. Loss takes time. It takes time to make somebody really see the little things in life we need. That takes time. Trust takes time. Hurt takes time. Love takes time.
should I tell you about all the crazy things I've ever done? I've been searching all my life when I should have stayed. I tried to run. I was searching for an answer in a world full of strangers, but what I found was never real enough. Now that I found you, I'm looking through the eyes of love. You've been good to me. You were so much more than I deserve. I never thought that I would find someone who's so sweet and kind like you. Please believe me when I say this time
through the eyes of love. And love you, Mob. Hope you're all well. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say and yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. Call that number. Yarn with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live on First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, as BBM Bumber Brit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. So have your say and yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. All right, now we got Which Way Yarning, proudly sponsored by Pekoni, IGA, Brinsmead, Edmonton. They give us a box of fruit here at Bummer Bipper Media. Healthy living, healthy lifestyle, message delivered to our staff and our school-based traineeship. And chew on a banana or apple rather than a Mars bar or Kit Kat. So there it is. It's just about choices, isn't it? And come to join us in the studio. We got Senior Sergeant Glenn Delay, and also he brought two bodyguards. You got Steve Grant here, PLO, Police Liaison Officer, and pretty Jess Mutton, Constable, first year. So I'll talk to the girl first. She's pretty than boys. Hey, my sister, how are you?
Hi, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Good. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
So you've been here before, and we had yarns before, haven't we, Jess?
Yes, we sure have.
And so first year constable, and how long have you been up here?
About 4 months in Cairns.
And came from Townsville, is that right?
Townsville for Academy, yep.
Okay, and then you're originally from?
From Bundy, lived in Brisbane for a while.
All right, still a Queenslander.
Yep.
Yes, good girl, all right. All right. Boys, ugly boys, what's happening?
Hey, how you
going, Sorry, no smile.
Hey,
pretty looking boys.
Morning, Trevor.
Sergeant Glenn Lye and Stephen Grant, how are you guys?
Very well, thanks, mate.
Good, thank
Fantastic.
You.
Fantastic, good to see you both. And look, great to have you all here. Now, we're talking about cyclone wet season preparations, which is coming up to that very soon, monsoonal, Christmas time. So about important to be, well, very important to be prepared for tropical cyclones. Like I said, Jess, only 4 months up this way, so you haven't been through a cyclone yet, have you?
No, I've been through a couple of floods, but never a cyclone, so you'll have to give me all the tips.
Yeah, you're not local until you've been through at least two cyclones. So let's talk about the preparations there, Senior Sergeant Glenn Deloy.
Yeah, so absolutely. This time of year, we get involved with our cyclone preparations, our local disaster management groups are sort of thinking in that space, and I suppose we're just asking your listeners at home to be also preparing for these events. And
let's not be lackadaisy.
Let's not be laxy, because we haven't, up in the north here, we haven't had one for a fair while.
Yeah, and we get complacent.
We do.
Because I was saying earlier, just off air there, about global climate. Don't tell me it's not happening. When you're talking about the so-called wet season, cyclone season, here in far north Queensland, we really haven't had one for a while, you know, like a monsoonal wet season as such, if not cyclones, a wet season as such.
Yeah, and our last...
And we get complacent.
Our last real devastating one was Yarzee, and that we're talking 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a long time. So there's a lot of people that have moved to this area that haven't
well, exactly.
Experienced it. And, you know, they are to be taken seriously every year, even though we don't get a large weather event each year.
Well, look, especially in the last 2 years when we're talking about COVID-19 and all the southerners are buying properties up here, moving north, you know.
One cyclone to flush them back
exactly.
Where they come from.
Be nice now, be nice. But in regards to, they wouldn't know the so-called preparation for the preparation, the rules for preparation for cyclone, yeah?
That's right.
Yep. That's what we're talking about.
So look, they can start by just having a look around their yard, any projectiles or things that are going to blow around. That may cause injury or damage to other items during high winds.
Yes, exactly.
They can check their house, suitability of their house, whether it's you know, they've got any flimsy walls, roof tiles, you know, what their roof is like. You can have a plumber inspect your roof if you're really concerned.
Sure.
One of the things up here is most of our houses are cyclone rated, so they have to abide to different building regulations.
Yes.
Yep. So
best to do your due diligence, do your homework in regard to your shelter that houses your family, that protects you.
Yep.
So we need to dot the I's, cross the T's, so to speak. Eh?
Yep. So importantly is some of the houses, so if you're in a very old house, it probably hasn't been built to the cyclone regulations of some of the newer homes.
Yeah.
In saying that, it's probably been through a few cyclones.
Yeah.
But the important part is the newer houses, because they're constructed to these cyclone regulations, they're quite safe during a cyclone. They're not a residence that you need to leave and go to an evacuation centre if an event is coming in. So we can check with our local council to see whether our houses do meet cyclone regulations, and that'll help people make that decision when the event comes in, whether they do need to evacuate their homes or remain and stay safe in their own house.
And most houses in preparation have like what they call emergency kit. Steve, I'll bring you into the conversation now. Can you enlighten us, please, regarding emergency kit?
Yeah, Trevor, emergency kit would be radio with batteries, batteries, spare torch. Watered containers, dried canned food.
Yes.
Has cans opener, matches, fuel, lamps, portable stove, for example, gas stoves.
Gas stoves,
obviously,
right.
There's not going to be any
electricity,
power.
Electricity, that's right, yes.
So there is a number of items there, Trevor, that's very vital. But, waterproof bags, eating utensils, first aid kits is probably one of the most essential things is on that list.
Yes.
So obviously, Glenn spoke to me this morning. He's told me that Cowanyama, the community of Cowanyama, they're currently going through a evacuation.
So they're getting on a get ready day today.
Okay.
So they're just, you know, going through their cyclone preparations and making sure that they're ready in case a
well, hats off to the mayor there and the constituents there operating in that space. Practice makes perfect.
Absolutely, get the community on side. With those emergency kits, I suppose you just look like you're going camping somewhere where there's no power or water.
That's the best definition, isn't it?
Yeah,
description.
Yeah. Yep.
You could say.
Have yourself, food that doesn't require refrigeration and sufficient water, you know, have like Steve said, have your radio, your batteries, torch, you know, and you're going to be okay.
Sure. I'll bring you into conversation there, Sister Jessen, regarding, look, a powerful tool we do use is generators, but also it could be also a, how you say, a weapon as such and fatality. So just elaborate on that regarding the using of generators.
Generators?
Yeah. I'm thinking in regards to, you know, like having it indoors. That's the dramas that it's created in regarding death, hasn't it?
Absolutely, yep. Fumes. So carbon monoxide like poisoning, that has occurred previously.
Yes.
So, yeah, if we are running a generator, it must be run outside the building.
Outside. Yep. That's what I was thinking in regard to the generators.
Yeah, but poor old Jess, she hasn't been to a cycling yet.
Yeah, sorry.
I have been camping a few times, but, you know, can't put generators indoors when you're camping.
thank you, because you're outdoors. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. All right, yeah. So we are students for life, so you just learned something there, Jess. Mm. And if you've got a generator, leave the generator outside, not indoors. But people put it in their garages, so to speak, and then you're going in there doing stuff or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, that's, yeah, fumes.
Absolutely, yep.
Something I've also prepared is a waterproof container for all your important documents.
Yes,
and
okay.
And like a backpack just with change clothes and stuff like that if you need to evacuate urgently.
Yes. Like a marriage certificate, Steve, you know? Don't lose that.
No.
Because then she might be thinking that she's free now. She can then roam around and leave you. You don't want that, do you, Steve? Thank you, brother. So, look, very important conversation regarding cyclone wet season preparations. Also a list of emergency phone numbers.
Yeah, they're very, very important. You know, if you do need help, our local SES numbers are important, local council.
Yes.
Look, your local radio stations as well. They are a big tool in getting messages out to the community. So, I mean, sometimes it may be just a simple thing like a tree down or power lines down.
Sure. You know, well, hence is why you got a radio, because then we as radio station, we keep people up to date regarding what's happening, what roads are closed or what's happening out different suburbs or areas in your space, you know.
Yep, and as that event's eventuating, your Bureau of Meteorology website, just keeping an eye and up to date with their warnings and directions for the community, very important. You'll also get those through the radio stations. I know all our radio stations are looking at those as the event unfolds.
And also a check or service on your vehicle as well. And it's full of fuel.
Yep. So, and we'll explain that to Jess on the way in here. You know, like some of our biggest lines up is for fuel.
Yeah, that's right.
When the events
but
come.
But people live it to the last minute.
The last minute, that's right. Yep. And, you know, in the north here, we're normally our roads are cut off. So, we do need sufficient supplies for a number of weeks.
Jerry cans fill those up as well, you know?
Yep, absolutely. So, you know, and then obviously, when you're purchasing food, you know, we don't want items that require refrigeration. We really want to steer away from those sort
of... Steve mentioned canned foods, you know.
Right? Yeah.
Yep. So, look, that's the information there. Emergency alert. Elaborate on that, guys.
Yeah, well, that emergency... We've got an emergency alert system that people will receive as a... similar to an SMS message. And I know a lot of people around the country have just received these about the COVID vaccination.
Yeah.
So similar sort of way the message will be delivered.
Yes.
You know, your phone will receive a message with a warning or and that may be an evacuation warning or that. And that just works on the geographical area that you're located at. Just listen to the message. That'll pop up on your phone.
Sure, and then again, like I said, that's why it's good to have radio and have communication that way, because sometimes, well, you don't know, the towers could be chopped down as well, so
that's right.
Communication. Yep.
Communication, and radio probably is our best communication during a cyclone. Mm. You know, they seem to get that message.
The wireless.
The old wireless, yes.
The old wireless comes in handy.
Yes, and we have our emergency alert sound.
Yes.
Very, you know, people in the farm.
Most city and towns have got that now, haven't they?
They do, yep. And they're not just used for cyclones now.
No.
Okay, so they'll use them for bushfires or other emergencies. But certainly in the north, we're very familiar with that noise and that grabs your attention straight away.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so beautiful information. So thank you so very much, gentlemen and Jess. Thank you. Anything more you want to add there, guys?
Yeah, Trevor, I'd just like to also point out... in a case of an emergency does occur in this series, Edmonton PCYC is another centres. There's actually four in Cairns, I believe. There's one at Warree, McNamara Street, Manunda, and I think there's one at Redlinch.
Okay. So for the local mob here in Cairns?
That's correct, yeah. And, like, on our way in, I was talking to Glenn and I'd just done a bit of research. Like, back in 2011 when Yasi hit, it was a Category 5 and it was 225 winds, not kilometre winds an hour. You know, and
it took out a lot of trees in the rainforest, didn't it?
Yeah.
Made the hills, mountains look bare.
It cost the government roughly $3.6 billion in damages, the damage bill, and 22 hours later, it was in Mount Isa.
Yeah, there you go. That's right. It travelled, didn't it?
Yep.
It was on a journey.
Correct.
Road trip is what cycling, Yasi said.
Yes.
Let's do a road trip. But that just shows you how strong Mother Nature is. Yep. And we need to respect Mother Nature.
Yeah,
so we need to do what we need to do.
One thing
to
I'll mention is with those evacuation centres, they're there to provide the necessities of life. So once them people are in those centres and the doors closed,
that's it.
It's not a building that you'll be able to leave during the cyclone.
Sure.
So the doors are closed and locked.
And won't be able to get in.
Yeah.
No, correct. Yep. So once they close the doors are closed until the weather event has passed. So that's a big consideration, and that's why you know I can't stress the importance of checking whether your house meets those cyclone regulations.
Sure.
Sometimes there's no need to go to those.
If you do your homework,
your
due diligence.
If you're in a safe building, you know the messaging would be stay at home.
Good. There it is. Lovely. Well, thanks for the yarn, you guys. All the best to you. Jess, welcome back. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Input there, beautiful. And we'll talk to you gentlemen later. All the best.
Will,
a big
mate.
Shout out to Edmonton Police, all the team back there. And we'll yarn soon.
Good on you, Trevor.
Thanks, Trevor.
Thank you very much. Beautiful yarn there with the guys and girl in blue. And we're talking about cyclone wet season preparations. That's a big yarn up here in far north Queensland. And of course, this deadly program goes across the country. You may not need to know about cyclone season out there in Alice Springs, but there is a topic that's having a yarn here in Cairns, far north Queensland, with National Talk Black and yarning all topics about keeping mob safe. But do what you need to do preparation, prepare. That's what it's all about. And you can have your say here on your daily program, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Hey, what get on your mob? It's me, Bushtaka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Yeah, Daily Track there, Nkuburé. That's Nublik Band here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, your mob, yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. Call that number, yarn with yours truly, Trevor Tim Trendy, Trevor Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country, as BBM Bumbleboot Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Otherwise, you can text a brother, 045-714-0550. And for your keyboard warriors, Facebook page as well, or Meta, BBM 987 FM. All right, Tudeli. Now, tech and tradition support rangers, the Northern Australian Indigenous Land and Sea Management Alliance, that's NALSMA, has joined forces with Northern Territory Ranger groups and partners for landmark caring for country and partnership. We're going to catch up a yarn now with our CEO of NALSMA, Ricky Archer, on the line. My brother, Rick, good morning. How are you, cuss?
Good morning, 6 dozen ices. How you going, mate?
You had to go there, eh, brother?
Gotta do it. So I'm not sure if we're live or recording, but how you going?
Thanks, yeah, brother, I'm good. We are live. Thank you. Yeah, brother, deadly. Look, before we start, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from, Rick.
Yep, so I'm a Duncan Murray from up north Queensland around Doombula and all family, throughout north Queensland, Gulf and the Cape.
Exactly. Beautiful, brother. Now, so you're the CEO of NALSMA, and a bit of a mouthful there, the Northern Australian Indigenous Land and Sea Management Alliance. Nearly broke my jaw trying to pronounce it there, cuss.
Yeah, that's all I know. We refer to it as NALSMA, but, an Indigenous not-for-profit organisation.
Good.
Working across North Australia in helping traditional owners and Indigenous groups through the land and sea management lens.
Yeah, talk about the joining forces there with Northern Territory Ranger Groups there, brother.
Yeah, so we've got an exciting project. We've partnered with a few on-ground groups. So we've got a few groups in Cape York and a few groups in the Northern Territory. And these are on-ground ranger groups, Indigenous-led, and we're partnering with key organisations like Microsoft and the Telstra Foundation. Mm-hmm. As well as the Australian Government's National Environmental Science Program, Resilient Landscapes Hub. And we're working on some cool opportunities and developments around transformation in digital technologies. Mm. So these Indigenous groups can use these tools and technology to help them solve problems that they've got on the ground.
Yeah, fantastic. And look, tradition is front and centre, but having the technology as well, it enhances the information and, fastens up the process. Are we talking rangers, men and women?
Yes, definitely. So we've got a mix of groups. We've got young and old, men and women. Cool. And one of the, one of the pilot sites we're working on with a good brother up there in Normanby, out of Normanby Station, Vince Harrigan. And one of the opportunities we're working on there is how we can give them the skills and capacity to help train other youth and the next generation of leaders as well. And one of the things we always talk about, no matter how flash digital technologies and a lot of these tools that are coming along, we need to be the ones in the driver's seat and developing these tools that are fit for purpose.
Exactly.
You know, not doing it just because someone else tells us to do it. And we're also developing these training frameworks so Indigenous rangers can be the ones that lead the application of this, and then they can also take it next door and, train up other groups and help build the Indigenous land and sea management sector as a whole.
Exactly. And when you look at our mob, then when we're working on country, another man country, it's not one size fits all. So we're all learning off each other. So it's a two-way street in regard to the communication and education, brother.
That's definitely right, and that's one of the key things we always talk about is making sure we've got strong cultural governance frameworks in place, and the work we've got into is based on good trusted partnerships.
Yes.
So there's a level of safety there from a cultural perspective, but also from a perspective of working together and collaborating. And there's groups are. They're beyond, holding secrets too much themselves. They're really happy with sharing skills and knowledge and helping groups and neighbours next door to reach the same capacity. And that's really positive.
Exactly. And most of rangers are traditional owners on their own country too, aren't they?
That's exactly right. So they've not only got lucky enough to have a job working on looking after their country, But they're also there out on their traditional country where they've got a cultural obligation to look after that country. You know, they're not going anywhere. They're going to be there, you know, for a long time now. So it's good when we do find these opportunities to link in, you know, the environmental and digital sort of opportunities with helping people look after their country and keeping their country healthy.
Yeah, too deadly, brother. And how long have you held the reins for as a CEO for Nalsmo, bro?
I've been here for about just over 3 years now.
Enjoying that journey?
You know, we're looking at... Yeah, look, it's been an excellent journey. I'm still learning a lot. I don't know everything, but we're looking at some really good opportunities that is going to strengthen the voice, for the Indigenous voice and input into this land and sea management space. And, you know, we've got some really good opportunities. And this partnership for the Healthy Country AI project is just one of those things that are going to get us on our way.
Yeah, too dirty, brother. Look, love your work, and thank you very much for sharing, my brother. All the best there. Big shout-out there to your family and to the mob there, and also the connection there with the mob in Northern Territory. Fantastic work, and please do keep in touch, eh, Rick?
Thanks very much. Love your work. Big supporter, mate.
Take care, my brother. All the best.
Thank you.
Deadly Yarn there, and that's Ricky Archer, and he's the CEO of Nalsma, Nalsma Northern Australian Indigenous Land and Sea Management Alliance. As I said, a mouthful, but fantastic. And they've joined forces with the Northern Territory Ranger Groups of Partners for Landmark Caring for Country Partnership. So fantastic about getting it together, and that's exactly what they're doing. You mob, have your say, yarn up strong. Got about 5 minutes left on the program here. National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Le bagisa da da o e ai bagia o bagia e ermilande mim
you were swaying your hips there. That's Pearly Shell, Kawanyama language. And big shout out to Kawanyama. Hope you're well. This is your daily program, National Talk Black, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. About to sign off here with the program for today, 1 hour program, and in the hot seat here in Cairns, First Nation Radio Station, BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM on your dingy country. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. I thank you very much for your company, your mob, and back in the hot seat again, like I said, tomorrow. So do add to the conversation. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. More importantly, stay safe. We're in a pandemic. Abide by the rules. Get the jab or get the conversation about the jab. Get the education, get the knowledge, and about protecting your family, your mob, especially our elders. Anyway, we've got news coming up very soon. Do enjoy.